take for our text, Luke 17, verse 17, the phrase, but where are the nine? Where are the nine? Well, when these lepers had been cleansed, only the one came back. The other nine went and actually did their duty, which was to go to the priest, as is commanded in Leviticus. They went and did their duty. And yet their works were not accompanied by faith. Only this one man was a faithful man. They were familiar with the duty of going to the priest, because they were presumably all Jews, but this one man was a Samaritan, so they had been cut off from the worship at Jerusalem, although some of them, even in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, had gone back to Jerusalem, and the word had got around to people there that they could go to Jerusalem, but the Samaritans generally were separate from the Jews at this time, and much despised. But as lepers, the Samaritan man was mixing with the Jewish people of Israel, of Jerusalem, of Judah, and the 10 of them were going around having to keep outside of the village and the towns. They had to lepers had to live separately outside the camp, as it was put in the Old Testament, and so it continued. And so they called upon Jesus for mercy. I don't know whether they were expecting him to cure them, or whether they were just seeking money, but he indeed told them to return go and show themselves to the priest, that they were cleansed. And as they went, they were cleansed. But, of course, there can be this outward form of cleanliness which doesn't get to the heart of the matter. We spoke a while ago of the paralytic man who was raised by Christ, and he was told to be of good cheer. Because his sins were forgiven before, he'd even been raised up from his palsy or paralysis, and so his healing was only to be a sign to show, look, your sins are forgiven. This was the proof that the onlookers wanted. Where here the healing comes first, and the men are made whole in their bodies. And today, often people say, well, if there was a miracle, everyone would believe. If we had miracles today, we'd have lots more Christians. But here, we only had 1 out of 10. And these people experienced this miracle personally. Of course, leprosy was sometimes cured. There was, in Leviticus 13 and 14, you read chapters on how the priests analyze the various different spots and blemishes that come and go. But here it was done instantaneously by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in the previous passage about one who's described as an unprofitable servant. And one of the great commentators on the Bible, a man called, a Dutch American called William Hendrickson, has written great big thick books about it. He points out that if we just do our duty, even perhaps begrudgingly, as it seems these servants did in the previous passage, we are indeed unprofitable servants. And they don't expect their Lord to serve them. But in Luke chapter 12, this is just a short point here. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. So there's a time when Christ serves his people. And yet for the miserable one, for the begrudging one who just does their duty, a formalist or ritualist in our worship of God, he will not find this blessing from Jesus Christ. But here we see one who, when he was cleansed, he didn't just take off. Well, all he had to do was to go to the priest. Even the Lord Jesus said to them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He does something which, well, we would say, well, it is our duty. But some would read the law in a very plain, bold sense, in a bold sense, I'd say. And they would say, well, we're unprofitable servants. We've done our duty. That's all that we are. And what can we really expect? Well, so these nine returned. But this one came and gave glory to God. Now, his faith is counted as the important factor here. He had a true faith. He knew that beyond the duty of going to the priests, there was a thing to give glory to God in Jesus Christ. And so, Article 29 of the Articles of Religion, which are, if you look up in the back of the Book of Common Prayer, on page 624, it says, the wicked and such as be void of a lively faith, although they do carnally and visibly press their teeth, as St. Augustine said, that means that they eat the bread with their teeth, the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, yet in no wise are they partakers of Christ, but rather to their condemnation do they eat and drink the sign or sacrament of so great a thing. To their condemnation, these men who received healing, this nine, had done so. Unless anything happened later on, as we see it here, they did it to their condemnation. They didn't do it. They didn't receive this in faith. So it is when we come to our communion. It isn't to, as Augustine said, to press our teeth that we partake of Christ. Without faith, it is of no avail. In Article 28, in the penultimate paragraph, it says, the body of Christ is given, taken, and eaten in the supper only after an heavenly and spiritual manner. It's just the previous paragraph repudiates the doctrine of transubstantiation, which is repugnant to the plain words of Scripture. That's the doctrine that the bread and the wine, there's a change in the substance of them. We have nothing of that in the Scripture. When Jesus says, this is my body, he doesn't speak of any sacrifice continuing. He doesn't speak of any miracle later that any priests will perform. But listen to this. The penultimate paragraph in Article 28 says, the body of Christ is given, taken, and eaten in the supper only after an heavenly and spiritual manner. And the mean whereby the body of Christ is received and eaten in the supper is, we've already said it's not eating, isn't it? How do we receive the body of Christ? In faith. The means whereby the body of Christ is received and eaten in the supper is faith. It's only given after a heavenly and spiritual manner. So that's why it says in Article 29, the wicked and such as be void of any lively faith, although they do carnally and visibly press their teeth, the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, yet in no wise are they partakers of Christ. Just to come to communion service and to eat without faith, like this man that came back and fell down at Jesus Christ at his feet and worshipped. I believe he worshipped him, when we speak of God here. But these things are not all spelt out in every instance in the scriptures. Every time something's mentioned, it's not given in full on each particular occurrence. So I want us to be sure that we're not like those warned of in Matthew 15 verse 8, who draw nigh with their mouth and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now we all suffer to some extent from wandering thoughts. You say something and it fires off an imagination in another direction, the concentration isn't perfect. We're all fallen, and even in our renewed state we're not fully as we should be, and our lips may sometimes speak without thinking. Well, we want to be careful of this, but our heart is even perhaps more than our mind here. Our mind does occasionally, it doesn't do right, but the heart here and in our passage is of a man who has thoroughly come to faith in Jesus Christ. He has quite a different attitude. Now, orthodoxy in forms of worship is of much use, it's of much help. But without the heart being for God, truly, in Jesus Christ, it's of no use. Just as the communion service that we read of in the Articles of Religion is of no use without true faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that expressed here. We need to examine ourselves when we come to the communion, not to find ourselves sinless, but to find ourselves repentant. Not to find ourselves perfect, but to find Jesus Christ is perfect. And above all, that he is the Saviour of us, the one who gave himself a propitiation for our sins. I was just thinking when we were reading the Ten Commandments, do some of them, of these Ten Commandments, may stand out to you when you read them and you say, you ask for the Lord's help to keep these laws. Maybe there's one or two of the commandments, and as you read them you think, yes, in one way or another, I think that's one of the things I'm worst at, not keeping that particular one. I don't. We're meant to do the opposite of all the things that are forbidden. We're meant to do the opposite to our full strength. And the ones given in great length, the idolatry and the Lord's Day, how easily we can be taken up by our own ways on the Lord's Day, and idols come up in our imaginations and lead us away from true worship of God. But I'd also put it to you that there may be some of the Ten Commandments that you think, well, I'm not so bad at those ones. It's only perhaps one or two that I particularly need to, you know, I get maybe 9 out of 10. But no, I think if you would think through them carefully, and again, think of what we're meant to be doing, remember that though we don't murder, we're spoken of as anger, wrath, being one of the works of the flesh, of the devil, and also that the opposite of murder is to give, to encourage life, good life, both in ourselves and in others. Then what a vast commandment this is, then, and you can consider them all in that way. And I think we'll see that we really do need the Saviour. And even as we examine our shortfallings in the keeping of the commandments of God, we can, if we are people who truly have come to understand the saving power of Jesus Christ, then surely we will be always turning to him, like that stranger, that Samaritan, that he was the least of the lepers, if you like. He wasn't even a proper Jewish leper. He was a Samaritan leper, and how we may think of ourselves as so unfit for heaven, then yet may we be those who will turn around to him, not just with an orthodox outward form, but with true thankfulness, as is expressed by this man, and true worship and devotion in our hearts to Jesus Christ. And you see that he expresses the root of it all in verse 19, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." You may think, well, faith's very little. I don't think my faith's even very much. But if you would turn again, or the first time, to Jesus Christ with your whole trust, this is what it is. It's simply that you cannot trust yourselves. All you see in yourself is your leprosy, as it were, spiritually, morally. We're like lepers. We're not worthy to be inside the camp, inside the holy area of God where he would have his people to be close to him. But through Jesus Christ, through faith in him, we're not only outwardly cleansed, but inwardly cleansed. And so, let us not be like those who merely outwardly would say, well, we've done our duty. It's not sufficient. Our duty is much greater than even what we think we've done. And what is due is that we give glory to God, that we come humbly to him, that when we're, as it were, cured by looking to Christ in faith, we don't just desire to go back, to get on with the world, but we come and live our whole lives to glory in Jesus Christ, to fall down before him, giving him thanks, and and so we find this man then, at the end, you would think, well, he would become one of the disciples. He'd stay with Jesus. He'd be a great thing to have with him as he was going around. He could show him off. But no, he sends him away. Where he goes, we don't know. He says, "Arise, go thy way." Well, he's a free man now. He can go back into the villages. People will see him. They'll be amazed. They probably won't all believe him. When they see him, they might be against him, like they were Lazarus, who Jesus rose from, caused to rise from the dead. But this man is now told to go. He really is whole. He's given glory to God, thanks to God in Jesus Christ, and he's whole. He doesn't have his leprosy anymore. But the great thing is that he has true faith. That's much better than his cure. The other nine were cured, but with no faith, they can go back, they can get on with their lives. They will continue in their sin without acknowledging Jesus Christ. There have been people like that. I might have told you once, I heard of a man, he was a drunkard. He said, "I turned to Christ, he saved me from drink, and now I've turned away from Christ. I don't drink anymore, but I'm getting on with my own life without him." That's like the one that goes out and comes back much worse than he started. And we're warned about that. Let us be sure, if we've known something of the grace of Jesus Christ, if we know the forgiveness of our sins, that we live like this 1 in 10 man, who, though he didn't go with the others, he went to Jesus Christ. He was rather on his own now. He'd lost his leper friends. Perhaps when he returned, The others, we don't know what they were going to do with him. He was accepted to some extent, but without faith, the others wouldn't be his particular friends, and he wouldn't have fellowship particularly with them. Now, his heart was now that he would live by faith in Jesus Christ, who he would later learn was the one who was going to die on the cross to save him for his sins. All this is, we can't unpack it out of this in such a short time, but you may think, well, you're past the point of being able to be good enough. This man didn't have anything. He had faith in Jesus Christ, and he was whole, complete. We are, as the Bible says, complete in him. Christians often are looking for other things added on. I read a little book recently, and the man said, I'm all for Jesus Christ. So some Christians will say, add on this, you need this when you're converted, and this and this and this and lots of other things. He said, no, I've kept away from all those arguments. There's a time to defend the faith, but Jesus Christ, I look to Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be doing. Turning back to him, looking to him day by day, and being content that he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let us be those who have learned not only to be content, but to praise God in Jesus Christ, to have true thankfulness. Let us be concerned for ourselves. If we've not been thankful, if we've been merely of an outward form in our religion, remember that we were people who needed, and we continue to need, day by day, the grace, the mercy and grace of God. And let us be those who obey and give ourselves fully to Jesus Christ. Now, some of you, I'm speaking of something you don't understand. I hope it's not so. I hope that when we come to our communion service, we can come with faith in Jesus Christ, so that when we're eating, and we know that we are, it's not by eating, but it's by a faith in Jesus Christ, believing on him as our Saviour, that we're receiving all the benefits that this sacrament reminds us, that he's given it to us as a perpetual memory of his death until he comes again, if we wait upon him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, perhaps it's been some years since we first knew the joy of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being cleansed from our sin like a leper cleansed. And Lord, we were thankful with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Lord, if we have somehow slipped into a complacency or just an outward form of worship, and we know these things in the back of our minds rather than in the depths of our hearts, Lord, we pray that thou would work in us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly be those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are truly thankful to him and praise him, and that, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, we know God the Father, and we come to thee, Lord, to worship thee by the blessed work of thy Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus has called and sent from heaven. And we long, Lord, for his coming, and we thank thee, Lord, even in the Lord's Supper, that we have this reminder that it is until he comes, and we remember his precious promises, that he gave himself, his body and blood. And as we eat and drink, we remember, and we even hope, Lord, for thy grace toward us, that though we are most unworthy, we are reminded again and strengthened in the body and blood of Christ. we receive by faith all his precious benefits to us. Forgive us, Lord, our lackadaisical ways, and revive thy people. We pray especially for those who are unwell today and aren't with us, that thou would help them and lift them up both in body and in spirit. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.